It's fun to be inquisitive. Be nosy. Stick to your passion. Find out more for yourself. Quest is fun. Join me, Tristan Pang, on a journey of inspiration. Welcome to Youth Voices.
Hello, everyone. This is your host, Tristan Pang, on Planet FM 104.6. Welcome to Youth Voices.
There was a great article in the New Zealand Herald called Everything You Wanted to Know About Gravity. It said gravity is all around us, but how much do we actually know about gravity? UK science writer and broadcaster Marcus Chown summarizes the story so far in his new book, The Ascent of Gravity, The Quest to Understand the Force That Explains Everything. I have this interesting book. The Herald's article was even more interesting because it was a chat between the book writer and New Zealand's best-known cosmologist, University of Auckland, Head of Physics, Professor Richard Easter. Professor Richard Easter said,
"Now I'm a cosmologist, and it's my job to ask questions about the universe."
So he asked Marcus Chown some great questions, although I know Professor Easter knew the answers already as he's an expert in this field. It's an interesting read, so here we go.
Professor Easter first asked,
"What's next for gravitational waves?"
Marcus Chown replied, "On September 14, 2015, gravitational wave ripples in space-time predicted by Einstein a century ago were detected for the first time. They came from the merger of two monster black holes, an event which, briefly, was 50 times more powerful than all the stars in the universe put together. When the ripple arrived on Earth, weakened by their 1.3 billion year journey across space, they changed the length of two 4-kilometer rulers made of laser light, one in Washington State and one in Louisiana, by just 100th millionth the diameter of an atom. Physicists now want to improve the sensitivity of the Laser Interferometric Gravitational Wave Observatory, or LIGO. It can detect ripples from other events such as the merger of superdense neutron stars and the stellar explosions of supernovae. They also plan to add more rulers around the world, so delays in the arrival time of gravitational waves will pinpoint the direction of any source in the sky. But just as there's an electromagnetic spectrum which rapidly oscillating lights like X-ray and sluggish oscillating light like radio waves, there's a gravitational wave spectrum. The gravitational wave detected on September the 14th oscillated almost 100 times a second, but waves which oscillate on timescale of months or years are expected to come from the merger of supermassive black holes which lurk in the heart of all galaxies weighing up to 50 billion solar masses. To detect such waves, it is necessary to go to space. Currently, there is a plan to launch a space-based gravitational wave observatory, known as LISA, in 2030.
If you had to nominate an observation most likely to change our idea about gravity, what would it be?
The observation of gravitational waves from the Big Bang. I'll explain. Einstein's theory of relativity, the general theory of relativity, contains within it the seeds of its own destruction. It predicts that at the heart of a black hole, and at the moment the universe was born in the Big Bang, the density and temperature skyrockets to infinity. Such a singularity is a sure sign that a theory has been stretched beyond its domain of applicability and no longer has anything sensible to say. Physicists are currently looking for a better, deeper theory of gravity, which contains no singularity and will tell them about the birth of the universe. So far, we have observed no instance in which Einstein's theory breaks down. But the hopes is that gravitational waves from the extreme conditions of the Big Bang would differ from the predictions of Einstein's theory and have imprinted on them some clue to the elusive deeper theory of which general relativity is an approximation. Alternatively, we may get lucky and as giant gravitational wave detectors become more sensitive, they may catch a clue in a black hole merger over the next few years.
Gravity is everywhere, but is there a phenomenon or situation where the impact of gravity came as a surprise to you?
I was amazed to discover that when the tide at sea rises, the water in wells falls, and vice versa. Incredibly, it has been known since 100 BC, but was explained only in 1940. The effect was first noticed by Greek philosopher Poseidon Neos, who lived between 135 and 51 BC. He observed that when a spring at the temple of Heraclium at modern-day Cadiz in Spain was low, the tide in the nearby Atlantic was high, and vice versa. The explanation due to American geophysicist Chaim Lee Pickering has to do with the gravitational pull of the moon, the principal cause of the tides. The key thing is that the moon not only makes the ocean bulge upwards, but the rocks as well. The waterlogged rock in which a well sits is like a wet sponge. It sucks water out of the well when the sponge is stretched upwards, high tide, and squeezes water back into the well when the sponge is released, low tide. A modern manifestation of rock tides is apparent at the Large Hadron Collider, the giant atomic smasher near Geneva in Switzerland. Twice a day, the rock in which the subatomic racetrack is bored is pulled upwards and released by the moon. This changes the length of the 26.7-kilometer ring by 1 millimeter.
Dark matter or modified gravity, do you think physicists has made a rush to judgment?
Yes, I think physics has. In the late 1960s and 1970s, when American astronomer Vera Rubin and Kent Ford discovered that the stars in the outer suburbs of spiral galaxies were orbiting so ridiculously fast that, by rights, they should be flung off into intergalactic space, there were two possibilities. Either the stars were in the grip of gravity stronger than Newton would have predicted, or there was an awful lot of invisible or dark matter, whose additional gravity was keeping hold of the stars. Physics went for the latter, the hypothesis of least daring, basically because nobody wanted to mutilate Einstein's elegant theory of gravity, which has superseded Newton's. Also, there was a lot of candidates for the dark stuff, from black holes formed in the Big Bang to subatomic particles predicted by speculative theories. None, however, has been found. The best candidate for a modified gravity theory is modified Newtonian dynamics, or MOND, proposed by Israeli physicist Mordechai Milgrom in the 1980s. In MOND, gravity switches from Newton's kind to a kind that weakens more slowly at a threshold acceleration, a 10 billionth of a g. With this single parameter, MOND can explain the motion of stars in every spiral galaxy. By contrast, the dark matter model requires a different amount of dark matter with a different distribution in each galaxy. That's amazing, isn't it? Now, let's listen to Marcus Chown discussing his book.
Hi, I'm Marcus Chown. I'm a science writer. I was formerly a physicist at the California Institute of Technology in Pasadena. I've written a book called The Ascent of Gravity, which is about the mundane force which pins our feet to the ground, which keeps the Earth orbiting the Sun, but also explains the birth, evolution and fate of the universe. So it connects the everyday to the cosmic and helps us understand ultimate questions. Well, gravity intrigues me. I'm intrigued by the paradoxes of gravity. On the one hand, it's the weakest force in nature. It's so weak that if I hold my arm out parallel to the ground, the entire mass of the Earth, countless quadrillion tons, its gravity cannot pull my arm down. Gravity gets stronger the more stuff there is. So on the scale of planets and stars and galaxies in the universe, it becomes overwhelmingly important. And gravity, paradoxically, is very weak, but actually controls the evolution of the universe and ultimately would tell us about the birth of the universe. But the reason is the discovery of gravitational waves in 2015. These are ripples in the fabric of space-time. They were predicted by Einstein 100 years ago. Imagine that you've been deaf since birth and you wake up suddenly and you can hear. This is the position that astronomers and physicists find themselves in. They've been able to see the universe with their eyes, with their telescopes, but now for the first time they can actually hear it. Gravitational waves are the voice of space. And arguably the discovery of gravitational waves is the most important development in astronomy since Galileo turned his telescope on the heavens in 1609. My book is for everyone. I write for everyone. I used to be on the staff of a magazine called New Scientist, and predominantly its readership was people with a science background, but that isn't who I write for. I write for my wife. She is, has no science background. She's a nurse. She's a medical background, but she doesn't really know anything about physics or cosmology. And if she gets bored, I get desperate and have to rewrite until she isn't bored, so that she's my audience. Well, gravity controls the universe. Our universe began in the Big Bang in a hot, dense fireball of an explosion and has been expanding and cooling ever since. And out of the cooling debris, there have congealed the galaxies. The Milky Way, where we live, is just one of them. If we imagine that expansion in reverse, like a movie in reverse, then the universe becomes hotter and denser as we get back to the Big Bang. When matter becomes concentrated, its gravity becomes stronger. So gravity, which is the weakest force in the everyday world, becomes the strongest force and the dominant force in the early moments of the universe. So unless we can actually understand gravity, we cannot understand the birth of the universe, why there is a universe, what came before the Big Bang, all these kind of fundamental questions. When I was writing my book, I learned many fun things that I didn't know about gravity. I mean, for instance, did you know that when the tide rises in the ocean, in the sea, the water level in wells actually falls, and vice versa? And this is a fact that's been known since 100 BC, but it didn't actually occur to me until I read about it. I also discovered that the Large Hadron Collider, which is this 27-kilometre subatomic racetrack near Geneva where atoms are smashed together to try and find the building blocks of matter, this actually shrinks and expands twice again because of the gravitational effect of the moon, the tidal effect. Another thing, most children at school are still taught that gravity is a force of attraction between masses. But in 1998, we discovered the major mass component of the universe. It's called the dark energy. We don't know what it is, it's invisible, it fills all of space, and it's got repulsive gravity. So contrary to what everyone believes, gravity predominantly blows rather than sucks.
So that's it from me, Tristan Peng. Thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed the show. I welcome your feedback and support of your program. Don't forget to like New Forces with Tristan Peng on Facebook. Goodbye.
Join me again for another exciting program next month on the first Wednesday at 2:10 p.m. or listen anytime online at planetaudio.org.nz/youthvoices or listen to the archive on my website www.questisfun.org.nz/youthvoices. Youth Voices. Thank you.